We have two selections from Scripture this morning. The first one is taken from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. You can find this on page 22 of your pew Bibles. Let us listen for the Word of God. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning. He took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. And the second selection is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, and then 36 to 40. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, an enemy has done this. The slaves said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he replied, no, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, collect the weeds first, bind them into bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Again, it is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you this morning. This is very much home base for me, Avon Lake Presbyterian Church. Many of you will remember me when I was shorter, when I had more hair, and when I weighed less. It is good to be back with you. And as a way of saying I am a little more mature than when I left you, I find I do have to take these off now just a little bit to see things closer to hand. Let us join together in a word of prayer, friends. Lord God, I ask that you would now bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they both may be acceptable in your sight, for you remain our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Perhaps you have not heard that Forrest Gump, the beloved sage of the Deep South, recently passed away. Well, it did happen, and a report has come to us of a visit that Forrest had with St. Peter before the pearly gates, and it went something like this. "Well, Forrest," says St. Peter, "it's good to see you. We've heard a lot about you, but I have to tell you that space is filling up fast, so we've had to institute an entrance exam. There are three questions, and you have to get all three of the questions correct to enter. Are you ready to take the test, Forrest?" To which Forrest replies, "Well, yes, St. Peter, yes, sir." "Right, here is the first question. What 2 days of the week begin with the letter T?" "Well, sir, that's very easy. It's today and tomorrow, just like my mama always told me." "Well, Forrest," says St. Peter, "that's not quite what I was expecting, but I'll let it go. Here's your next question. How many seconds are there in a year?" "Well, shucks, sir, that's really easy. There are 12 seconds, replies Forrest Gump. "Now, how did you come up with that?" replies St. Peter. "Well, sir, there's January the 2nd, February the 2nd, March the 2nd. "Wait a minute, I see where you're going with that one, Forrest. Again, I'll let you pass with that," says the saints. "But I have one last question for you now. What is God's first name?" "Well, sure," Forrest says quickly, "it's Andy." "Andy, just how in heaven's name did you come up with that one?" says the saint, about ready to fall off of his throne. "Heck, it's the easiest one there is. I learned it from a song my mama taught me. Andy walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own." To which St. Peter can only reply, according to the report, opening the gates, saying to Forrest, "Run, Forrest, run." Friends, sometimes it seems we can surprise the divine. But more often than not, it is the divine, it is God, who surprises us. Indeed, all too often, we do not know what God can really be up to. Now, why do I say that? Well, I think the story of Jacob proves the point, especially the passage we have just heard again. "And then Jacob awoke from his sleep," we read, "and he said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.'" Again, Jacob has just had a dream, a great vision, in which he has seen a ladder going from the earth into heaven. He has seen angels ascending and descending on the same. He has heard the word of God himself blessing him, promising him a mighty inheritance. And friends, Jacob is shocked, surprised, astonished by it all. And might I suggest that you and I would be too? For Jacob, as Charlie pointed out, is the bad boy of the Old Testament. He is the last person we would expect to be given such a vision, let alone a blessing. Jacob, simply put, is a liar and a cheat. And earlier in Genesis, as we'll remember, it is Jacob who cheats his older brother Esau out of the birthright that should have remained with Esau. But that's not enough for Jacob. Later we read that Jacob deceives his own father Isaac, all to receive a blessing that should have been given to Esau as well. What a cheater! What a liar! What a trickster! And it's through this behavior, let me remind us, that Jacob inherits all that Isaac possesses, a vast fortune, while Esau, his brother, is left with nothing. You know, a little later in the book of Genesis, we read that Isaac commands Jacob to leave home and to travel to his uncle Laban's home, all to find a wife there. But let's not be deceived. Jacob's departure is more about saving his life, to be true, rather than finding a wife, because Esau is terribly angry at him. So angry, in fact, that he wants Jacob dead. And who can blame him, right? Because Jacob is the bad boy par excellence, the liar, the cheat, and the crook. And yet it is to Jacob, a man both tired and running for his life, that this vision comes. This vision we read about in Genesis 28. Jacob comes to Bethel by night. He takes a stone, places it under his head as the stars come out, and then he dreams that God comes to him, speaks to him, comforts him, tells him that he is his own, to quote from the song. It's just when Jacob believes, and quite rightly so, by the world's standards, by our standards even, that he is alone, that he is loved by no one except perhaps his mother, he discovers that God is with him. God comes to him. God gives him a glimpse of heaven. And that same God promises that he will honor the covenant he has made with his grandfather Abraham and with his father Isaac. This covenant will be realized in Jacob's life, the life of a cheat, a rascal, and goodness knows what else. What is God up to, therefore? Truly, Jacob is just as perplexed as you and I might be. And Jacob awoke, we read again, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Question for us. Does this fit into our own experience in some way? Have you, for example, ever been in God's presence, and yet you've hardly noticed it? Have you suddenly realized that God has been with you, and long before you knew that God was there beside you? Have you? Have you ever felt so alone, perhaps, so rejected, so fearful, only to discover God coming to you and coming to your aid? Have you? I hope so. Have you ever painted a picture, perhaps, of yourself, all blue, all depressed, all unlovable, only to discover that someone loves you, that someone cherishes you, believes in you, that you are more than welcome in God's presence? Have you? I hope you have. And now let me ask us this question. Have we ever painted a picture of someone that is so completely devoid of light, only to discover that the light has shifted, that the person we've written off has come around instead, that they've completely changed course and changed for the better? Have we? You see, the good news of this story of Jacob, is not simply that there is a ladder between heaven and earth. It's not simply that God sometimes comes to human beings. It is not simply that Jacob is loved by God, although he is a sinner like you and me. No, the good news is also to be found in that sentence that Jacob utters as he wakes up. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And I did not know it. Do we understand this? Do we have ears to hear? Jesus wants us to hear. And Jesus wants us to understand. And so we have this parable in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 13 today. The parable of the wheat and the tares. And that parable is meant to be instructive for us. It's meant to be instructive to us, not simply, friends, because it promises the destruction of evildoers, although we do need to hear this and take that to heart. Jesus' parable is not simply instructive because it tells us that the blights upon our lives are the work of the evil one, although again, this should be a source of comfort to us. No, here is what I hope you and I will take away from this parable as we also consider the story of Jacob. This parable is instructive to us because it counsels us, you and me, to have patience. To have patience. Patience, for instance, in the face of situations that seem bad to us. Patience in the face of attacks by the evil one, and they do occur. Patience in the midst of our urge, perhaps, to fix things, all to make them right. Patience in the face of our desire to make judgments upon others and to act upon those judgments. You see, this parable is instructive because all too often, like Jacob, we do not know what is going to happen next. Because all too often, we can't pin where God is or what God is up to either. The truth of the matter and the plain sense of this text from Matthew is that we cannot be sure that the weeds around us are going to remain weeds because God is at work and our God is truly full of surprises. Now, Charlie, I loved your children's message this morning. You talked about the heroes of the Bible. Well, were they all lily white? Yes or no? Well, consider Moses, of course, the great liberator and really the father in many ways of the nation of Israel. Well, he was a murderer, if you may recall, earlier in his life. David, I think we all know, great king, a heart for God, but he wasn't lily white either. He was an adulterer. And then there's Paul, who, while Saul, a religious vigilante, but then a pillar of the church. The same for Peter, that saint who had it with Forrest earlier this morning. He was a hypocrite and a coward, of course, earlier on. Where is God? What is God doing? The truth, again, is that you and I do not know what is coming next or where God is and what God is about. In fact, let us admit this morning that the only thing about God that you and I can be sure of is that God will surprise us. Where is God? What is God doing? Here are two questions we tend to ask, and perhaps we're asking them more and more in these days where so much is unsettled around us and even within us. I don't think I have to tell you, we are living in a time of no little amount of anxiety. But consider this. Long ago, Jacob awoke one morning and exclaimed, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was shocked, frightened, humbled, because he realized that he was standing on holy ground at that moment. Our lives are holy ground. From the smallest event to the largest event, the events of our days are not lived apart from God. Our God is with us, mighty and mysterious, to be sure. And here's the good news that Jacob also realized. God remains with us, no matter who we are and no matter where we are. We have Jesus' word on the same. "Lo, I am with you always," he says, "even until the end of the age." Yes, let us remember, even rediscover, perhaps, as Jacob did, that God is with us to bless us, to help us, that God is here to comfort, to correct, and to guide us, that God is with us to work out God's good and gracious plans through us. Let's remember that. But as we think of the parable today, let us also remember that God calls us, friends, to be patient. That God teaches us in this parable today not to rush to judgment. Now, sometimes, this is what Alaskans do. They often will come up and say, "What was the point of that sermon about? I kind of lost you halfway through." Well, here it is in a nutshell. For the love of God and for the love of one another, Let us give God, and let us give others, a wide berth. Let us let God do what God does. Let us let God move in God's mysterious ways as much as we can. Let's do that. And as we do that, here is what I suggest to you will happen. And please don't be surprised if the following happens, that you find God embracing you, friends, when you feel dirty and ugly. That you will see God turning your greatest afflictions into sources of strength and healing. That you see God taking the lost and the lonely and making them guiding lights for us. That you see God changing the wicked into saints. Yes, let us behold our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And may we with Jacob declare how awesome is this place, our daily lives. That our daily lives are indeed the place of the very gate of heaven itself. And let all God's people say, Amen, this morning. This is the word of the Lord to us, and his word to us today. Thanks be to God.